Okay, so this is the second one of the Chazor Shir, and we are going to start from Shir number 15, which was Hazori Chetz Hazori Kineva. So we went on in the Gemara. The Gemara Ksuvas Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph continued and quoted Rav Chista. Rav Chista gives a case of Hagonev Chalevo Shel Chavero. You are going to be Chayev. So what's the case? I go and I steal Chalev from my friend. So I'm going to be Chayev. What's happening here? There's a Chiyev Misa for eating Chalev, and there's a Chiyev Mamun for stealing the Chalev from my friend. And yet I'm going to be chayev, and Kimle is not going to apply, seemingly because there are timing issues, because I'm going to be chayev for stealing before I'm chayev the Misa, so Kimle cannot apply. What?
Not apply.
Very good. Kimle cannot apply. So the Gemara says, this seems to go against Rabbi Avin. Rabbi Avin gives the case of Hazorik Chaitz. Someone shoots an arrow. Dalet Amos on Shabbos. So we know there's a problem of going Dalet Amos versus Rabbim on Shabbos. So I shoot an arrow, and while the arrow's on its path, it rips a shirt. So the Gemara says you're going to be Pater and Kimle is going to apply. Why? Because Akira Tzorech Hanacha. So even though the entire Chi of Misa didn't happen yet, and the Chi of Mamun seems to have come first, which should create Bas Achas issues, there's no issue because Akira Tzorech Hanacha. So the Gemara goes on to ask, what's the difference between the cases? Why do we apply Akira Tzorech Hanacha by one and not the other? By the stealing the Chilev, we should apply the same thing and say that it Kimle will apply. So what's the difference? Gemara gives a bunch of technical answers, which we're going to discuss in later sugyot. But for right now, we just want to analyze and try to figure out what exactly we mean by Akira Torah Hanacha. To do this, we're going to understand a Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Ayin. Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Ayin gives a very interesting case. So the Gemara is talking about ways of being Chayev Dalad Vehei. Dalad Vehei, the Torah tells us, if you are Tavach U'machar, a shor or a seh, meaning I steal your sheep or your goat. If I steal it from you, and I either shecht it or sell it, I'm going to be chayev dalad vehei instead of the normal kefil that we generally pay by ganav. You're going to pay dalad vehei. So the Gemara is trying to ask, what happens if you do this on Shabbos? It's not asking tavach b'Shabbos, because that's pasha kimwe is going to apply, because you're not allowed to do shechita on Shabbos, so that's for sure it's going to apply. The question is, let's say I'm machar on Shabbos. So, b'chori, you're going to be chayev, because mechira is not something which is a chiyuv misa on Shabbos. As we know from last year, mechira might be, there are other isuri derabanan which are involved in it, but it's not an isuri deraisa, so you're not going to be chayev, so that's why you're going to be chayev for dalad vehei, even when it's on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, oh, vehatanya pater. There's a brisa which says that you're going to be pater for selling it on Shabbos. So the Gemara is now trying to find a case where you are going to be violating a malacha at the same time as the mechira. So therefore, we can apply Kimle, and that's our goal. We want to try to find the Kimle case by this Mechira on Shabbos. So, the Gemara quotes that we found this case from Rav Papa. Gemara says, "Ba'omer lo zrok nevo secha l'chatzeri, v'tikni li genevo secha." Gemara says, the case is where I steal something from, Reuven steals something from Shimon, and now Reuven wants to go and sell this to Levi. So Reuven's going to sell it to Levi, and he wants to do this on Shabbos. So how does he do it? He wants to do it using a Kinyan Chatzer. So he throws it into the Chatzer of Levi. So he's over on Hotzah, and he's over on Mechira, so Kimle will apply, because the Chiyuv Misa of Shabbos is going to take away the Chiyuv Mamon of the Mechira, and that's why Kimle is going to apply, and that's where you'd be Pater. The Gemara then says, this only works, this throwing it over the Kinyan, this whole Kinyan Chadr, throwing it over the fence thing, that only works according to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva has a Shita in Hilchos Hotzah of Kluta Kamisha Hunacha Damya. What does that mean? It means that his Shita is that as long as something's in the airspace of something else, that's going to be considered as if there was a hanacha done. So if it's as if there was a hanacha done, so then it makes sense that the chiyuv Shabbos and the chiyuv Mamon happen at the same time. So I'm throwing it over the fence over here. The second it gets into the airspace, there's a chiyuv Shabbos and there's a chiyuv Mamon, and we are good simultaneously. So we are good for Kimle, and Kimle would apply. However, according to the Rabbanan who hold that you actually need a real hanacha to apply, there's still going to be a problem, because the chiyuv Mamon is going to be happening once I get into the chatzer airspace, and the Chiyuv Shabbos isn't going to happen until it lands. So that means the Chiyuv Mamon is going to be coming before the Chiyuv Misa, and that's a big problem. Within Kimle, we have major Bas Achas issues. So the Gemara answers this, and the Gemara says, no, according to the Rabbanon, we can also have a case where it would work if there was a Tanai made in the Mechira which said, I am not going to be Konan until it lands. So therefore, the Chiyuv Shabbos and the Chiyuv Mamon are going to happen at the same time. So that's the Gemara in Bava Kama. Now, all of the Rishonim, every Rishonim asks the same question on that Gemara. I don't understand. We know we have Rabbi Avin, who says Akira Tzorech Hanacha. So why don't we apply Akira Tzorech Hanacha here? There couldn't be a better case to apply Akira Tzorech Hanacha. By me throwing it over, we know it's going to land. So once it lands, it should be as if the whole thing's one maisa, whatever it is. However we are going to define Akira Torah Chanacha, Akira Torah Chanacha should clearly apply in Bava Kama Daf Ayin. Why does it not? That is the question for the sugya. As we pointed out yesterday, in all of these sugyos, to better understand them, we need to know the background really well, and we need to know what the driving question in each sugya is. So this is the question of the sugya. Now we are going to suggest six answers. What do you mean? What's
that? We're saying that only, meaning Kimle, we want it to also apply here as well.
We want Akira Torah Chanacha to apply. Right. Meaning, why do we even have to get into this whole machlokas or be Akiva in the Rabbanon, whether it's in the airspace, whatever it is? Even according to the Rabbanon, it should should be a case of Kimle because Akira Torah Chanacha should apply. Why do we need to get into this whole discussion of Rabbi Akiva versus the Rabbanon? So that's the question that's bothering the Rishonim, and we have six answers to answer it. These are the six. So let's start. Are we clear on the question and on the background? Yeah? Okay, so the first answer comes from Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam in Ksubas and in Bava Kama gives the same answer, and he says, "Ein Achanami, you're right. Ein Achanami, it's a machlokas zugyos." And there are really Tanaim who disagree with Rabbi Yavin. Rabbi Yavin gave this whole klal of Akira Torah Chanacha, but there are those who argue. He shows there's a Gemara in Gidden who quotes Rabbi Yirmiya Bayayin Nesech who would disagree with him and say Akira Torah Chanacha doesn't exist. It's a machlokas in the zugyos. That's the first answer, and that's Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah?
Sorry, what's the difference between
Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Akiva? What do you mean? That's what we're trying to figure out. Meaning, you're saying Rabbi Akiva saying Kuta Kmishu Nachadamya,
yeah,
and Rabbi Avin saying Akir Torah Chanacha?
Yeah, I'm saying it's... It sounds very similar, right?
Interesting.
Conceptually, like, if you hold it, Rabbi Akiva,
so you think it's a machlokes just in that Gemara and Bava Kama as to whether we hold the Rabbi Avin? I think there's a big difference, because I think Rabbi Akiva is only discussing his klal within Hotzah. Mm-hmm. He's dealing with Hotzah. Well, actually, that's interesting, because we'll see. But your question is something where it's going to be used in one of the answers a little bit later. But one's a Hotzah din, and one's more of a Kimwe din. So for now, let's leave it, but it's a very good point. We'll see in a minute. In a few minutes. Okay, good. So we got the first answer, which is Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? Then comes the Ri, and he says very similar, like, just not exactly the same. He says, in Achanami, meaning the Gemara in Bava Kama, is just not discussing Rabbi Yavin. It's not that there's a machlokas asugyos. Everyone agrees that Akira Torah Chanacha is true. It's just that sugya wasn't discussing Rabbi Yavin. It was trying to figure out different kolam, different dinim, just not talking about Rabbi Yavin. So it's also in Achanami, but it's not that there's a machlokas, just not discussing it.
Who cares?
What?
Who cares?
What do you mean?
Like, even if you're right, even if it's not discussing, meaning it's, well, it's not discussing.
Meaning it's saying, don't ask me a kasha from it, because, like, it just wasn't talking about that. Meaning, like, you're right, it could have given that answer, Inachanami, it could have given the answer, Akira Torah Chanacha, but they were discussing Kinyanim and whatever, so they didn't want to talk about it. Good. So those are the first two answers, they're very similar answers. One's Rabbeinu Tam and one's the Ri. Again, our question is, why is Akira Torah Chanacha left out of the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Ayin? The next sheet that we have to look at is the Rambam. The Rambam has a wild cheetah, because the Rambam, in Hilchos Geneva, Paragimel, Halacha Beis, he quotes the case of Rabbi Yavin and he quotes Akira Torah Chanacha, but then he quotes the Gemara in Bava Kama and quotes the Ukimta of the Rabbanan. So I don't understand. If you have Akira Torah Chanacha, why do we need the Ukimta of the Rabbanan? So what's going on in the Rambam? So we gave two possible pshatim to understand this Rambam, which end up being two possible pshatim in how to understand the sugya. So again, our whole question was assuming that the Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Ayin was a problem, meaning the problem with the Rabbanan was, oh, according to the Rabbanan, there's going to be a timing issue, because they hold that in order to be chayev on Shabbos, there needs to be a real hanacha, so I'm going to be chayev mamon over here, and I'm only going to be chayev nis over here. So that's the problem. That's what we assume the problem was according to the Rabbanan, but it's possible that there could be a different issue according to the Rabbanan. Comes the Tozer Rush and says, no. Shidim Gubetzis quotes Tozer Rush and he says, no, there's really a different issue going on in that Gemara in Bava Kama. Gemara Bava Kama was talking about something else. Gemara Bava Kama was saying, according to the Rabbanan, there should be no Chiyuv Shabbos at all. Why should there be no Chiyuv Shabbos at all? Because, think about it, I only care about being Kona this thing. So I throw it over the fence, Kinyan's happening over here. If it were to blow away, and whatever, I don't care what happens to that. We know for Shabbos, in order to be Chayiv, there needs to be Melech Smachshavis. I don't care if it lands. Meaning, to be over on Shabbos, there needs to be a Hanacha. I don't care about the Hanacha, so there's no Melech Smachshavis, and that's why they're talking about, it's totally different Shiloh. So to ask why we need the Rabbanan, this whole question on the Rabbanan, why do we need this whole question on the Rabbanan? We have Akira Torah Chanacha, that's ridiculous, because Akira Torah Chanacha has nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about a dinin Shabbos of Melech Machshavos, and you're trying to say Akir Torah Hanacha. What's going on? So they're two totally different situations, and that's why it's not a kasha. So that's why he says Rabbanon. Okay, I'll try it in English. No good for the Rabbanon. For the Rabban, because Melech Machshavos. Right? And notice the four over there. So then comes the Shaar HaMelech and says it's possible that this could be how the Rambam explained the Gemaras. Meaning the Rambam understood the Gemara that the Rabbanon were talking about Shabbos. So that's why he's able to pass both of these dinim. It's possible to hold Akir Torah Hanacha and to hold of this Ukimta of the Rabbanon that they made this Tanai beforehand that I'm not going to be Kone until it lands, because one's dealing with Shabbos and one's dealing with Akir Torah Hanacha. They're two totally different situations. Yeah? We're good on that? Okay. So that's one possible answer, and that could be one possible pshat in the Rambam. And the other one is from the Rimi Korbil. Rimi Korbil explains, he doesn't like this answer of the Tozer Rush, because he says, like, okay, you might not care about it, but when you throw it over, it's going to land like that. So that's kind of ridiculous. So he creates this tightrope, and he says, this type of hanacha, you wouldn't be chayav on Shabbos, because it's not enough of a hanacha to make you chayav on Shabbos, but it's enough of a hanacha to make you chayav on Shabbos, but it's not enough of a hanacha for Akira Torah Hanacha. Unclear how exactly to define that, but he feels forced to say that because of this. Meaning, otherwise it makes no sense. Why would we not have Akir Torah Hanacha? So it must be that it's a tightrope. Right? He walks this tightrope and he says, it's enough of a Hanacha to be Chiyiv Shabbos, but it's not enough of a Hanacha. But it's not enough of a Hanacha for Akir Torah Hanacha. So that is the fourth answer that we have. Good?
One more time.
It's enough of a Hanacha to have a Chiyiv Shabbos, right? We need a Akira and a Hanacha to be Chayiv on Shabbos. So it's enough of a Hanacha to make you Chayiv on Shabbos, but it's not enough of a Hanacha to apply Akir Torah Hanacha. Right, we have to, yeah. So it's unclear how he's defining Hanacha, if not through that. Generally, we like to look at other areas of Halacha to see how we define things. So he found that, but now he's saying, I hear, yeah, that's the title. That's why it's like kind of tough. But he must have felt forced into saying that because of all these things. Yeah, we wanted to, we then spoke about Zoreh, and Revi got really excited about this Pshat Marach or Teruah, that maybe this thing's different because you didn't know it was going to happen, whatever it was, and you got into a whole shot in Zora, Yerushalmi, Rabbi Feiger, Ein Chump. It was an interesting, he enjoyed it. I don't think he was serious about it, though. But maybe. Okay. So then comes the next shot that we have. So what's the next shot? The next shot is from the Me'iri. The Me'iri has a very interesting shot. Let's just read it inside. V'delashon harafa Me'iri zal, shom. So what does he say? We only apply Akira Torah Hanacha by Nezikin, but we don't apply it by Mechira. So what's Pshat in that? Where did that fellow come from? Meaning that would answer our question why, because our Gemara is talking about Nezikin, so that's why Akira Torah Hanacha is going to apply. But the Gemara Bava Kamma is talking about Mechira, and Akira Torah Hanacha is not going to apply there. So what's Pshat? Comes to Yechezkel and he explained, he quoted the Shita of Rashi. He showed how Rashi defines Akira Torah Hanacha differently than most others. So Tosos in the Tozer Rush, which we're going to see a little bit later, Tosos holds that Akira Torah Hanacha means we're extending the entire time of the Maisa. So anything that happens within this time period is going to be considered Akira Torah Hanacha. Tozer Rush, we're going to see a little bit later on also, he says this whole thing that when the Chi of Misa comes before the Chi of Mamun, we're okay. Comes Rashi and he says, no, Akira Torah Hanacha means that we move the Chi of Mamun and the Chi of Misa both. We move them both to make it as if they happened at the same time. So we're moving both the Chiyuv Mamon and the Chiyuv Misa. It only makes sense to say that we're moving a Chiyuv Mamon when we're talking about Nezikin. By Mechira, what's happening? I'm throwing it into your Chatzar. You're not doing anything. That's a Matzav. That's a circumstance. That has nothing to do with you. So it doesn't make sense to move a Chiyuv Mamon. It only makes sense to talk about moving a Chiyuv Mamon when we're talking about a Shas Nezikin. We're talking about a Nezek, we could say, oh, since you did this anyway, it's as if you did it over here, or it's as if you did it over there. So that's the only time it would make sense. So we suggested perhaps that could be pshat in the Me'iri. So again, what does the Me'iri say? The Me'iri says, Rak b'nezikin v'lo b'mechira. And we quoted Rashi to explain from the Divrei Yechezkel to explain what that means. Good. Comes the Shah, this is the one they like in the yeshivas. Comes the Bir HaGrach, Reb Chaim. Comes Reb Chaim and he has a very nice Pshat, which is very much similar to what you were saying earlier about the difference in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Avin. So he says, on Shabbos, there are three types of dinim, three types of Yisuri De'oraisa, one could be over for Hotsa-related dinim. There's Hotsa, which is going from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. There's Hachnasa, which is going from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. And there's Havaras Dal Ramos per Rabim. So while they might be under the same category of Hotsa, he says they're radically different. Hotsa and Hachnasa, the focus of those dinim is going from one Rishus to another Rishus. Yes, there might have to be four Ramos included in that, but the ikar part of those malachos is going from one rishus and going into another rishus. However, that's not the case by Havaras Dalet Amos versus Harabim. The key over there is the Dalet Amos aspect. Yes, there has to be an Akiran Ha'anacha, but the key is the Dalet Amos aspect. So, comes Reb Chaim and says it only makes sense to talk about Akira Torah Hanacha, meaning he's assuming Tosos is Pshat and Akira Torah Hanacha is right, which is that the entire Maisa is as if that whole time period from the Akira to the Hanacha is one time period, and anything that happens in the middle of that is going to be included in Akir Torah Hanacha. So he says it only makes sense to say Akir Torah Hanacha that we make the entire Shas Malacha into one Chiyuv when we're talking about Havaras Dalet Amos versus Harabim, because that's all an Arba Amos Din anyway. And since it's all a Din and Dalet Amos anyway, that's the only time that makes sense. And since that's the only time that makes sense, that's why Akir Torah Hanacha applies by our Gemara, where it's talking about Havaras Dalet Amos versus Harabim, but it does not apply in Bava Kamma, where it's talking about Hachnasa and Hotsa. So that's what he explains. So he says, Havaras Dalet Amos versus Hotsa and Hachnasa. Okay, so these are the six pshatim that we have. We have Rabbeinu Tam. Again, let's just go back just to Chazar very fast. So our first question we had, why is Rabbi Yavin not mentioned in the Gemara in Bava Kamma? He should be included in this Gemara. It makes no sense. Why wouldn't he be? So the first answer is Rabbeinu Tam, Einach Hanami, and it's a Machlokes HaSugyos. Then we had the Reeve said Einach Hanami, but not because there's a Machlokes HaSugyos, just because the Gemara over there wasn't discussing it. Then we had two Pshatim, which we used to also explain the Rambam, as to how you could paskin both like Rabbi Yavin and this Ukimta of the Rabbanon. So the Tozar Rosh said it's not good for the Rabbanon because Melechts Machsheves, so there's not even going to be a Chiyuv Shabbos. The Rimi Korbil walked this tightrope and says enough of Hanacha for Shabbos is not enough for Akir Torah Hanacha. Then we had the Meiri who said it only applies by Nezikin and not by Mechira, and that's why it only applies in Ksubis and not in Bava Kamma. And then we had Reb Chaim who made this distinction between Havaras Dalet Amos and Hotsa and Hachnasa. That is the first sugya. Here. And that is the first sugya. Okay? Good? Got the first sugya now. Okay, awesome. So let's go to the second sugya. So then we moved into the realm of Bava Kamma. Okay. All right, let's see what we got. So then we moved into the realm of Bava Kamma. We wanted to figure out more about Eish, because a lot of this Gemara that talks about Eish talks about Kimlay. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, talks about the dinim of Eish, and there is a machlokas in how to understand Eish. We can either say Eish o Mishum Chitzav, like Rabbi Yochanan, which means that Eish is like an arrow. So even though I'm not the one doing this action this second, and there's a bit of a time delay, it's as if I'm shooting an arrow, and it's coming from my koach, and I'm the one who's violating. It's as if it's my action which is violating. That's Rabbi Yochanan's Eish Mishum Chitzav. And Reish Lakish holds Eish Mishum Mamono. When I light a fire and it blows all around and damages a ton of things, it's as if my animal is damaging. It's just my mamon. It's not actually me being the one that's damaging. It's my mamon that's damaging. Comes the Gemara and Da'im Bava Kamma Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis. And the Gemara gives the case where Reuven lights the field of Shimon, and the Eved of Shimon is what? The Eved of Shimon is tied up. So the Gemara says you're going to be potter in such a case, seemingly because of Kimle. We'll discuss that a little more later, maybe. Seemingly because of Kimle, there's going to be a potter. So again, I'm lighting the field of Yahav, I'm lighting his field, and his slave is tied up in the field. So since I'm going to be killing the slave and damaging the field, it's going to be a p'tur, seemingly because of Kimle. So Gemara says, that makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Eish Mishum Chitzav, because I'm an Adam HaRotzeach, and since I'm the one that's killing, it makes sense that there's going to be a p'tur of Kimle. However, according to Reish Lakish, who holds Eish Mishum Mamono, I don't understand, why would that make sense? I'm not the one killing, so why should there be a p'tur of Kimle? So Gemara says, you're right. Rather, we're talking about a case of Kishihitz's Gufo Shalevet. So according to Reish Lakish, what's the case? It's where you put a coal on his heart, or on the body of the Eved, So since you put a coal on the body of the Eved, you're actually the one killing him, and while that's happening, the field's also going to burn. So there's going to be Kimlei, even according to Reish Lakish. Gemara then talks about, Gemara then asks also, what's the Chiddush according to Reish Lakish? So Misa Lezevet Hashum Menozeh, Hashur Ayin Yahav, if you have any questions on that. What are you talking about?
Meaning he's saying lighting the fire is not like directly doing it like a coal would be putting on his
fire. Right, exactly. So Aish wouldn't be enough.
What would say Aish would be?
Aish is mammon. Meaning that you're going to be chayav mammon for it. So that's why if I light this Eved, so he's going to die and then it's going to burn the whole field. So I'm going to be chayav mammon for the field. And I'm going to be chayav misa for the Eved because I'm actually the one who killed him. Okay? Good. So comes the Rashba and asks a question. Bein l'Rabbi Yochanan, bein l'Reish Lakish. Comes the Rashba and he says, we know we need Bas Achas. Bas Achas means that these things need to happen at the same time in order for Kimlei to apply. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, what's happening? I'm lighting the field, and eventually the Eved's going to get burnt and die. And we're saying that Kimlei's going to apply. That's strange, because the Chiv Mamon's clearly happening before the Chiv Misa. So how is that possible? How could it be we have Bas Achas issues? What's the Gemara Baba Kama talking about? It can't be. That's the question according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, according to Reish Lakish, oh, we changed the case that you're lighting actually the Eved himself. So over there, the Chi of Misa is happening before the Chi of Mammon. So there are Bas Achas issues that way also. So what's going on? You have Bas Achas issues anywhere you turn, so what's going on? How does this make any sense? Good, we got the questions of the Rashba. Because again, these are the main questions over here. Right, last sugya it was Rabbi Yavin and the Pavakama. And here, this is like the Shiloh over here. So, how can we answer these questions of the Rashba?
Isn't there a few things that also the Eved?
Meaning by itself? Meaning because you owe them.
If you're Chayav, you owe his owner money for filling his Eved, so wouldn't that be the future?
Well, even if it is, we still have that you burnt down the field. Meaning, and we're talking about paying for the field, we're not even talking about the main Netarach. Okay, good. So that is the question. Comes the Rashba and he gives a totally different pshat in the sugya. The Rashba, because of these questions that he had, gives a totally different pshat in the sugya. He says, really, what we're talking about here is not a chi of misa for killing the guy. We're talking about a chi of rodef. What's rodef? We discussed it a little bit yesterday. Rodef is when I'm doing something bad and I'm about to kill someone, so other people have the right to kill me. And we consider that as if it's a misa's based in, kind of. And it's enough of a misa's based in to tell me that Kimlei will apply. So what's happening? According to Rabbi Yochanan, when this Eved's tied up in the field and I'm going to start lighting the field, so the second I light that fire, anyone can come and kill me, because that's what's going to happen is that the Eved's going to die. So anyone can come and kill me. And since anyone can come and kill me, I'm a rodef the entire time. Bas Achas issues do no longer exist, and we're all okay. That works. Good. And according to Reish Lakish, it's also a rodef situation. Why? The entire time I light the Eved, I start lighting the Eved, so from that second on, the Eved doesn't die right away. And the entire time while the Eved's alive, I'm still a Rodef. And since I'm still a Rodef, there are not going to be any Bas Achas issues because the Chiv Mis and the Chiv Mam won't happen at the same time. Good? So those are the answers of the Rashba. Comes the Or Sameach and says, Rashba, you are guilty of overkill. You are guilty of overkill. Right? Why are you guilty of overkill? Because, I know, it's really bad. I gotta stop. Yeah. The Or Sameach says you're going a little bit overboard here. That's ridiculous. You can't say that because if the whole pshat is rodef, if everything's about rodef, then why you need this ukimta of Reish Lakish, right? The Gemara gave this whole ukimta of Reish Lakish that you're going to be kishihitzis gufo shalevet. But if the whole pshat is that you're a rodef anyway, then why do we have to give this ukimta for Reish Lakish? You're going to be it should be a patur for Kimlei anyway, even according to Reish Lakish. So what's the pshat? So comes the Or Sameach and we see something very interesting from this Or Sameach versus the Rashba. We see something fascinating. It comes out according to the Rashba. Why couldn't there just be a din rodef, and then we wouldn't have had this question of Reish Lakish? So we have to say that the Rashba clearly felt that rodef only applies when there's a chi of misas based in. When you're actually the adam harotzeach, that's when we can apply rodef. Otherwise, we can't apply rodef. And the Or Sameach seems to disagree with that. The Or Sameach feels no matter what, we can apply rodef. And really, we didn't need that shot of Reish Lakish in the Gemara. So that's why the Rashba is wrong. But it comes out very interestingly from the Rashba that the only time we apply rodef is when there's a chi of misas based in, when you are the one doing the killing. So that's what comes out from that. Yeah, sure. So the Rashba gave his answer that everything's about rodef, right? Good. So that means even according to Reish Lakish, right? Reish Lakish, again, he holds Eshu Misha Mamono, which meant that we have to figure out a case. How would there be kimlei? If it's eshem mishum mamono, it's only your mamon killing. So how could there be kimlei? You're not chayiv misa. So the Gemara gave a case where you put the coal on the body of the eved. Yeah? Good. So Reish Lakish, the Rashba explains that that case, according to Reish Lakish, is also a rodev case. Why? Because since the eved doesn't die right away, I'm considered a rodev from the second that I light the body, and it eventually goes to the field, and I'm going to be a rodev the entire time, so the misa and the mamon happen at the same time, and there's no basa achas issues. Okay. Comes Yor Sameach and asks, according to you, Rashba, that everything's about rodev, we don't need this whole case of lighting the eved. There's no need for that case. Why? Because the second I light the field, I should be a rodef anyway. And since I'm a rodef, whether we hold Eishem Mishum Chitzav or Eishem Mishum Mamono, I'm a rodef, and the Chiyuv Mamon is happening at the same time. So Shem Kimlei should apply to everyone. So what do we see? Clearly the Rashba didn't feel that would be a case of rodef. Why not? Because if we hold Eishem Mishum Mamono, and I didn't actually kill anyone, and I'm not a Chayve Mises based in, so then he must feel that rodef wouldn't apply. Since he only thinks that rodef applies when I'm the one killing, that's why the Gemara had to give this case of Kishitz's Gufo Shaleved. He must feel that Rodef only applies when there's a Chayiv Mises based in. When I'm actually an Adam HaRotzeach, that's when Rodef will apply, but otherwise it will not apply. The Yor Sameach, though, clearly disagrees with that. From the fact that he asked this question, he feels that we could have a Din Rodef no matter what. It doesn't matter if you're actually the one killing or not. There could be a Din Rodef no matter what. So do we have any Rayos for this discussion about whether there needs to be a Chayiv Mises based in or Din Rodef or not? So, we have Rodef, right? Comes the Rashba and says, only works when Adam HaRotzeach and the Or Sameach says, even without. Okay. So do we have any rayos? The Yor Sameach says he thinks he found the case which can prove against the Rashba. What's the case? The case is of Moser. We have an informant. We have someone who's going to go tell on the Jews to the Goyim. He's going to go tell on them. Another like half hour, 25 minutes. So we have an informant, right? We have a case of Moser. So what's happening over here? So what's happening is that there's some Jew is going to tell on another one of the Jews to the Goyim and get them in trouble. So the din is that we're allowed to kill this Jew. Anyone's allowed to kill this Jew to stop him from doing this. Comes Yor Sameach and says, we see, we found a case. This guy's not Chayv in Mises Basin, he's not an Adam HaRotzeach. Yet the Din Rodef still applies to him. So we see the Rashba's wrong. So we have two pshatim to explain why this is not necessarily a good proof. Comes the Divrei Yecheskel. And he explains, no, he quotes the Ravid that says, this Din of Moser is not a Din Rodef. It's really just a Horashah. The Rabbanon have the power to create certain dinim in different situations which might not be correct. For example, they use Eliyahu Anavi made a bama, right? Tosfos Nivamos talks about this. He made a bama, so how is he allowed to do this? Is against the din? No, it's Horasha. He felt for the betterment of the klal, you're allowed to make certain dinim in certain times, one-time things, but you're allowed to do it. So for Moser, it's a one-time din that we say you're allowed to kill people. And it's not really coming me din rodef, so it's not a proof against the Rashba. So now the Rashba can still read perfectly, even with this din moser. So that's the first answer for the Rashba. The second answer comes from Reb Chaim Ozer. Reb Chaim Ozer in his Shailos and Tshuvos Achiezer gives a separate answer. He says, it's possible to be considered a rodef without being a chiv emesis based in, but in such a case, kimlei is not going to apply. One more time. It's possible to be chayv, to be called a rodef without being a rotzeach, but in such a case, kimlei is not going to apply. What do we mean? So he says, yesh lachkor as to how we understand rodef. There are two aspects to rodef. One is onshin. On the one hand, we want to punish the guy. But on the other hand, we want to save the guy. There's a din hatsala. So he says, this is a case, Moser's a case, where there's no onshin here. We're just trying to save the guy. So he's a rodef without being a rotzeach, so kimlei is not going to apply by it, and that's why you can't bring it as a proof, because it's a totally different case. For now, yeah.
So then how does the Gemara answer?
Because you're Chayv Mises based in after that.
You said though that the ancient aspect was that he was able to still kill him, not the based in, but other people are able to kill him even after he's already attacked the Eved and the Eved's prolonged death.
So that's as an ancient, yeah. Because you killed.
That's not me. That's not basic. You have the ability to kill the guy even when it's not
a shame. Right, so he's saying Rodef Mishum Onshin is considered enough for Kimlay.
Is Rodef Mishum Onshin necessarily defined as giving as a basin?
Well, I mean, this guy, it could be. I hear what you're saying, but I think this guy is a Chayiv Mises basin. Basin just hasn't gotten him yet.
Yeah. This is a separate thing.
Exactly. Basin just hasn't gotten to him yet. That's what we're saying. Everyone else can kill him first, but the Chorah, if Basin had him, they'd kill him. Right? Okay. So those were two pshatim. So again, let's just chaz what we have. We're talking about Eish. We have Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, Eish Mishum Chitza, Eish Mishum Mamono. We have the Gemara. We explained that it makes sense according to Rav Yochanan, not according to Reish Lakish. We gave another case for Reish Lakish. We then had the kashas of the Rashba and his answers that it's Rodef. The Rashba asked whether it's on Rav Yochanan, whether we hold like Reish Lakish, we have timing issues. He said that it's a Rodef din. The Or Sameach said Rodef is not necessarily a good answer because he gave his reasons and it came out as Machlokas whether we have Rodef by non-Rotzlim or not. And we brought two answers for the how to answer for the Rashba against the proof of the Or Sameach, which he brought about Moser. But that's what we have for right now. Now there's another important Gemara which is going to impact this Shaila. Again, we have Rodef, and there's a Machlokas between the Rashba and the Or Sameach when we apply Rodef, whether there needs to be a Rotzeach, a Din Rotzeach, or not. So we have to understand this Gemara to understand more about our Sugya. So Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Bein. Gemara in Sanhedrin says, it's talking about different cases of Mises based in it. It's talking, it says, let's say, Yenim throws a rock up in the air. Right? We have Yenim over here. Back to Yenim. Sorry, I like saying that. We have Yenim, and Yenim throws a rock up in the air. So if the rock goes out, like you throw it up and it goes to the side and kills someone, you're going to be chayiv. The mashmois from the Gemara is that if it went up and straight down, you are not going to be chayiv. If it went up and straight down, then you would be pater. So comes the Ron and many other Rishonim and ask on this Gemara, I don't understand. There's Gemara Bava Kama which says, let's say I put something onto a roof and there's a ruach mitsuya, meaning a normal wind that comes and blows it down. So I'm going to be chayiv. Mishum told us to Eish if it damages someone. So why would this be any different? I'm throwing it up and it's coming right down and damaging. Why would that be any different than this ruach mitsuya? Why would I not be chayiv in such a case? It makes no sense, asks the Ran and many other Rishonim. What's going on? Comes Tosos and he explains, Ein Achanami, you're right. That Gemara is only going according to the Man de Amar Eishu Mishum Amono, but if we held Eishu Mishum Chitzav, then you're right. You would be chayiv if it came straight down. Good. Comes the Ran and he quotes Rabbeinu David. Quotes Rabbeinu David, this is the second shot in that Gemara. Asks again, what's the question? The question is, why would you not be chayiv when you throw it up and it comes straight down? What's the difference between that and Ruach Mitzuya, where you'd be chayiv for told us the Eish? Comes Rabbeinu David and he explains, no. Eish is only when there's an active koach acher me'urava. What does that mean? I put it on the roof. This wind is an active koach acher. It makes sense that this wind, I'd be chayiv for this wind because it's an active koach acher. However, gravity is not going to be considered a koach acher. Gravity is not an active koach acher. It's a passive force. And since it's a passive force, in like 20 minutes. You can put it here if you want. Since it's a passive force, I think it's for Robbie. Yeah. Since it's a passive force, that's not going to mean anything. Okay, good, we got that? That's why you're going to be puffed, because it's not an active force. You're only going to be chayav for Eish when there's a koach acher. But here there's a passive force, so it's nothing. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Guys, got you this for Chazar. Thank you all for coming.
Each of us get our own pipe.
That's right.
Wait, so Ruach Mitzui is a passive force?
No, Ruach Mitzui is an active force.
How?
The wind, dog. You put it there and you know this wind is going to come. That's an active koach acher.
You throw it up once the wind is occurring, right?
No, well, that, the case of the wind is where you just put it down on a roof and then it blows off.
It blows. But it, I'm sure it was already blowing.
Right? Yeah. Oh, wait, are they supposed to have an event like now, right, Colin? 1 second. Are you supposed to have an event now?
We're supposed to have
it. Yeah, we could totally move.